Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Achieve a heavenly situation in the next life. But even this result, which is only achieved by perfect performance of pretty rituals, will be vanquished by time. Now hear of this. Gacchati means going. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna states, Agama Payano Nityaha. All material experiences, good or bad, come and go. Therefore, the word gacchati refers to the disappearance of the results of even the most meticulously performed fruitive sacrifices. Any material situation, from the worst to the best, is imperfect. Thus, one should strive only for pure Krishna consciousness. I'm going to read on because there's about four or five verses here that don't have any purport. And basically they support the conclusion of this statement. Ishtveha devata jagyai svalokam yakti jagdikaha bunjita devastatra bhogan nivyam nirjar jitan. If on earth one performs sacrifices for the satisfaction of the demigods, he goes to the heavenly planets, where, just like a demigod, he enjoys all of the heavenly pleasures he has earned by his performances. Svapunyo pachite subre vimana upagiyate gandharvayar viharam madye devinam hridyaveshadrik. Having achieved the heavenly planets, the performer of ritualistic sacrifices travels in a glowing aeroplane, which he obtains as the result of his piety on earth. Being glorified by the songs sung by the Gandharvas and dressed in wonderfully charming clothes, he enjoys life surrounded by heavenly goddesses. Sounds like fun. Accompanied by heavenly women, the enjoyer of the fruits of sacrifice goes on pleasure rides in a wonderful aeroplane, which is decorated with circles of tinkling bells and which flies wherever he desires. Not bad. When I was a little boy, I used to have this dream, recurring dream, that I could fly. Being relaxed, comfortable and happy in the heavenly pleasure gardens, he does not consider that he is exhausting the fruits of his piety and will soon fall down to the mortal world. Tavat samodate svarike yavat punyam samapyate china punya patatyanavad anischan kalachandikaha. Until his pious results are used up, the performer of sacrifice enjoys life in the heavenly planets. When the pious results are exhausted, however, he falls down from the pleasure gardens of heaven, being moved against his desire by the force of eternal time. So, in our dreams, we're flying all over the place, but sooner or later we have to wake up. Then we discover it's just another day. Another day in life and death. Om Magana Mirandasya Nandana Sadakaya Jagjurunnivitam Jena Tasmaye Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Bhagavadamayam Dadati Svaranatikam Mukam Karoti Vachanam Pangum Nangayati Girim Yat Kripa Tavaham Vande Sri Guru Dinakarvinam Svanushtita. Being elevated to the heavenly planets by the performance of the rituals which are recommended within the Vedas requires great attention to detail, effort, focus, attention. It is not something that is achieved easily. It requires absolute attention to detail. Prabhupada explains in the Bhagavad Gita that in the performance of the various yagyas, there are different classes of priests who perform the rituals and chant the prayers, chant the mantras. And there are various examples of the potency of these yajñas. You know, there's the Ashwamedha yajña where a horse, or there's the a cow. What's the name?
Horse.
Horse.
There's another one. The sacrificial animal is offered into the fire after the chanting of the mantras, and when it's described how that living entity is then rejuvenated and is manifest again in a youthful form, in a completely new form, which is, you know, just that's something just beyond our comprehension and experience in this day and age. But such is the potency of the performance of these ceremonies that they have what we would consider miraculous results. And of course, Prabhupada mentions that, you know, these animal sacrifices are actually performed to test the purity and the efficacy of the chanting of the mantras by the brahmanas. So it's a test of their purity and of their attention to detail. And there would be brahmanas whose job it was simply to check and make sure that the mantras are being chanted according to the proper meter and the proper pronunciation, so that it would be potent. So it would have effect. And sometimes these yajñas would go on for days, even months. We see at the beginning of the Bhagavatam how the sages of Naimisharanya were prepared to come together for 1,000 years to perform a sacrifice to stave off the effects of Kali Yuga. That was their intention. Such is the potency of the brahmanas. Because they were a little bit discouraged, because when they tried to light the fire, then they could only get smoke. Which meant that the potency of their chanting, the potency of their mantra, had already been depleted by the influence of the Kali Age. And so, you know, after some discussion and deliberation, then it was decided, okay, we'll recite the Srimad, we'll hear the recitation of the Srimad Bhagavatam, because that's, you know, superior to all other performances of sacrifice. And, you know, along with the qualification of the brahmanas and the duration of time that it would take to perform these yajñas properly, then there, in order to maintain such a elaborate and detailed performance of sacrifice, then the yajaman, the sponsor of the sacrifice, he would have to be fabulously wealthy, because the offerings there would be ghee and gold and ornaments and grains. So wealth had to be there. So to be successful in the performance of these yajñas, then a total focus and a total concentration and determination had to be brought to bear in order to get a result. You know, we see the example of King Nriga. He was giving in charity as part of his sacrifice in order to be elevated by his pious deeds. But in the course of the performance of his yajña, if you like, his sacrifice, giving in charity, one of the cows, and he was giving hundreds of thousands of cows in charity to the brahmanas. And each one of those cows is described, how they were beautifully decorated, and they had gold and silver ornaments on their horns and on their hooves, and so fabulously wealthy. One of those cows strayed back into his herd, and then he gave it away again. And then the brahmana to whom the cow had originally been given in charity complained. What's going on? One of the thousands of cows that you just gave me is gone over there. When you hear this story, it makes you wonder what qualification this particular brahmana was, because in one of the highest qualifications of a brahmana is forgiveness. And ordinarily you would just say, oh, it's okay, you've given me 100,000 cows. Okay, a bit of a mistake. It's all right. Right? It's okay. But the thing is, though, the brahmanas want to protect the religious vows of everybody. So if there's a discrepancy, then something has to be done about it. You know, in other words, you know, these things can't be done whimsically. They have to be done very deliberately. Yeah, he made one mistake. And even though he begged with the brahmana, it's okay, you know, I'll give you another 100,000 cows if that'll solve the problem. He said, no, it has to be. That would have then upset the other brahmana. So as a result of that mistake, Maharaj Mingha didn't take birth in the heavenly planets. He got to take birth as a lizard. So that illustrates the degree to which one has to perform these sacrifices. The focus and the attention to detail that one has to perform these sacrifices, the effort and endeavour that's required in order to be elevated to the heavenly planets, or even to, you know, some of these other sacrifices that produce the results. So, one has to endeavour with great effort to achieve these results and avoid the mistakes and the discrepancies. They have to be avoided in order to be successful. A lot of effort, a lot of endeavour, and then what happens? You get the result of the sacrifice. So it says the antarayoi avihitaha, which means the jagya, or the sacrifice, or the effort performed without being affected by any of the obstacles and discrepancies that might arise. So it has to be perfect. Then one gets the result. But then, what's the benefit of that? Well, in the purport, it's emphasized here, gacchati, which means you get the results, but those results are not permanent. They disappear. Just like any effort or endeavor in the material world, we struggle so hard, we work so hard to get something, and then what happens? Agama payano nityas. Anitya. It's not permanent. It comes and goes. And so, and you know, this is mantraspa shastra kuntaya sitos nasuka dukata agama payano nityas. Tangs tikjas vabharata. Instruction by Krishna to understand the nature of the material world. Even if one is elevated to a very, very, very high position, that high position is only temporary. It doesn't last. So, as is mentioned here, the word gacchati refers to that which is coming and going. The endeavours. And this is really underlining the fault of these karmakanda sacrifices. And of course this chapter is called The Nature of Fruitive Activity. The nature of fruitive activity is such that it has a beginning, it has a middle, and then it has an end. like everything else in the creation. Adhyanta lanta kunteya nateshu ramate buddha. So these instructions in the Bhagavad Gita, instructions in the Bhagavad Gita, are given to remind us of the fault, if you like, the frailty, the weakness of pursuing material benefits, material gains. Material gains are simply limited and temporary. Therefore, Krishna instructs Arjuna, you know, one shouldn't be bewildered by the flowery words of the Vedas. The Vedas offer us elevation of the heavenly planets, and here we see, you know, you'll be picked up by a glowing aeroplane. Glorified by songs sung by the Gandharvas. They'll be singing your glories. Hari bo, hari bo. Kiba jaya. Dressed in wonderfully charming clothes. The latest fashion. Surrounded by beautiful and heavenly denizens of the higher planetary systems. You know, a beauty, handsomeness that we can't even imagine. Huh? You know, read the stories of Bhagavatam, how some of the saints and the Raja Rishis, they just hear that, you know, in the case of Manaka, Vishwamitra just heard the tinkling of the ankle bells of the heavenly damsel, and he was just, what was that? So, you know, Prabhupada mentions the beauty of the residents of the heavenly planets is such that, you know, we would just be bewildered if we saw that kind of beauty. It's totally, life is disturbed. We are just like, you know, hogs and dogs in comparison. And we're given an opportunity to travel wherever we want within the material creation, practically speaking. Certainly, wherever we want, in an aeroplane that is just goes where we desire. Whatever you want, that's where you go. Be relaxed, comfortable, happy in the heavenly pleasure gardens. But what's the fault of all of this? The fault is that it just doesn't last. This is one of the reasons why a devotee is dhira or sober, and why Krishna recommends one has to be tatiksha, which is a symptom also of sobriety. Because whatever elevated position we achieve, whatever comfort or happiness, whatever circumstance we experience in the material realm, it is only going to stay with us for a very limited period of time. I mentioned this before, you know, we are happy when we get our paycheck in our bank account.
That's great! Wow, wonderful!
But then, what happens? the gas, the electricity, the motor, the vehicle service, the rent, or the mortgage payment. And we see, you know, this is just a simple thing. We think, yay, I got my pay. And then
it's all gone.
Credit card payments, children's education, wife's doctor's bill, or, you know, elevated to the heavenly planets, enjoying in Anandanandana gardens, living for a very long period of time, enjoying these facilities, but sooner or later one will have to, again, and this is, you know, enjoyment, pleasure, the exhilaration of sense gratification is such that it makes us forget of the reality. We forget the reality. We become so absorbed in our enjoyment that we forget that actually time is running out. He does not consider that he is exhausting the fruits of his piety and will soon fall down to the mortal world. So gacchati, this word gacchati has been emphasized in the purport, refers to the disappearance of the results of even the most meticulously performed fruitive sacrifices. So you have to work very, you know, the effort required is enormous. And the results are certainly enjoyable, but they will come and
go.
And so the statement is here that any material situation, from the worst to the best, is still faulty. It's still imperfect. Now, what did Krishna say about devotional service? Nihabi krama naso sti pratyalayo navijyate svalpamapyasya dharanasya trayate mahatobaya. Prabhupada gives the example of a bank account. The performance of pious activities means that you're building up your good karma. One goes to the heavenly planets, but then what happens? You're withdrawing, 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 and your bank account goes down till eventually you've got no pious credits anymore in your bank account, so back down to the material world to build up to work, basically. Go back to work. Right? You get your pay, you can enjoy, but then once you've spent your pay, what does that mean? Back to work, fellas. Who's looking forward tomorrow morning?
Zero.
Huh?
It becomes zero.
Becomes zero. Yeah. But Monday morning, back to work. Yet, in the performance of devotional service, the bank account or the pious credits, and they're not actually pious credits because they transcend the pious credits that are being discussed here, the fruity, the, what's it called? The, Prabhupada quotes Bhaktivinoda Thakur and the Chaitanya Charitamrita. There are pious credits that come about as a result of the performance of good deeds. Right, which we would call good karma. There's pious results that come about as a result of cultivating knowledge and a proper understanding of things as they are. There's piety that comes from that. But the piety that comes from the performance of devotional service is completely different. The piety that comes as a result of the performance of what we call pious activities according to the Karmakanda. And you know, when we chant the 10 offences to the holy name, one of them is to consider the chanting of Hare Krishna as if it was a material activity that will give us good karma. It's not like that. The performance of devotional service is considered to be the highest perfection. Why? Because even a little progress goes into your spiritual bank account and it is never withdrawn. Even if you take advantage of that deposit by withdrawing on it, the withdrawal simply increases the account. Right? Say, for example, one gets the opportunity to associate with the devotees. This is why Agyata Sukriti is so important. And this illustrates the potency of devotional service. Devotional service is such that even if you don't know you're doing it, you get benefits. And those benefits are lasting. They're not temporary. They're not temporary. They're not limited. This was Arjuna's question, you know, what is the benefit for a transcendentalist who strives to make advancement in devotional service, but then is not successful? Is not successful. What happens? Is he not like a ribbon cloud, Arjuna says, because, you know, he's not pursued material progress, so he hasn't got any material benefits. He's only pursued spiritual benefits, and he wasn't successful in achieving the end result. And Krishna makes a point that he will or she will take up again in the next lifetime where he left off. They'll be automatically attracted to the principles of devotional service. So, even if one performs a small amount of devotional service, even if it's performed unknowingly, or even if it is performed with some discrepancy, you know, mentions in the Bhagavatam, that even if you chant the holy name of the Lord without the proper pronunciation, right, you may not pronounce the names properly, still you get the benefit. And Devakinandan Prabhu was telling us the story about Prahlad Maharaj and how he was attached in his previous life to a particular woman, and they had some argument. They had some argument in a disused Nisringa temple, wasn't it? And he was chasing her. They had an argument and he was chasing her. Yes. And they ran around, they circumambulated the temple. And even though they were engaged in sensual, you know, activities, sense gratification basically, you know, sacred place, still he got the benefit. So even he was in, actually, even, you know, we see Ajamil is another a very good example. Ajamil is a very good example of somebody, even he's very simple. A very simple person. So much so that the other Dudas were, okay, come on, let's get him. This man is so simple, it's now time to take him away for punishment. But he had been chanting the name of his son, Narayan. And Prabhupada says, you know, this is an example of the benefit of the Vedic culture. Even in its dormant state, if you like, Prabhupada talks about an elephant. You heard the story, you know, he mentions how an elephant is good, is of use even when it's dead. Because you can use the tusks, you can use the skin, and so forth. He says, even though the Vedic culture, practically speaking, is dead, the benefit of calling your son Narayan, or Krishna, or what, some devotional name. And that's illustrated by Ajamil's example, where he was chanting the name of Narayan, and even that chanting wasn't necessarily shuddhanam, it wasn't pure chanting, but still he got the benefit because it was inoffensive chanting. He got the benefit of chanting the holy name. And so, consequently, then the Yamadutas were challenged by the Vishnudutas. Hang on, what are you doing? You can't take this man. So, Even just a little bit of, compared to, you know, all of this endeavor in the performance of fruitive activities, made a mistake and you don't even get the results. But compare that with the easy process of devotional service. Even performed without knowledge and without attention, full attention to the details, or even with some imperfection, still there's great benefit. And then, you know, when you die and leave the heavenly planets, and all of your pious activities, all of the pious credits that you've accumulated, that's what it says here, gacchati, all of the pious credits that you've accumulated and have now used up, they're all gone. Poof, gone. So, what to speak of agyata sukriti? You know, we have been blessed, if you like, with the opportunity to capitalize on what was our previous agyata, certainly now is our agyata sukriti. You know, somehow or other, by the mercy of Krishna, Bhagyavanaji, the fortunate soul, Ramanda Bhumite Kona Bhagyavana Jeev, Guru Krishna. Yes. It's interesting how Prabhupada quotes that verse and then he changes it around. Krishna Kripa. So we've got Krishna's mercy. We may not remember what devotional service we performed in our past life, to now get the association of the devotees in this life and to take up devotional service. We can't remember. But we must have performed some devotional service, because Prabhupada mentions in the Nectar of Devotion that this devotional service we're performing now is a continuation of the devotional service that is performed in a previous lifetime. And so you see, you know, when the devotees get an opportunity to again take up the process of devotional service, then they feel like they're being reconnected to that which they've lost. In many cases, I remember when I first would hear the chanting of Hare Krishna, the devotees would be chanting downtown in Adelaide, and I'd be hanging around the city streets just wasting time or whatever it was I was doing. And I hear the sound of the, you know, you'd always hear the kato. What's that? Oh no, it's those guys again. But it was very attractive, you know, sort of enchanting, enticing, if you like, the sound of the kirtan party and the sound of the maha mantra, and you know, the association of the devotees when one is able to take advantage of the association of the devotees, take shelter of the chanting of Hare Krishna, then one feels as if one's come home, basically. Or at least I do. You know, wow, this is what I've been looking for. All this life, I've been, this is what I've been looking for. Finally found it. Everything else is just a dud. Everything else is a swindle, huh? Because it doesn't last. Even, you know, we pursue material pleasures, we get an opportunity to enjoy, and then at the end we think, ooh, what was, is that it? Was that it? You know, there's a feeling of just deflation. But in the association with devotees, chanting Hare Krishna, it's dadati pratigrinati guyamakyati pichati bhukte bhojayate chayva. All the different exchanges in devotional service are deeply satisfying for the devotee who takes up the process of devotional service from where he left off. and is then able to capitalize on previous devotional service. So even if we perform devotional service and we forget about it, it still benefits us. Actually, we can't forget about it. You know, you hear about of devotees who have joined the temple and lived with the devotees, but then due to inattentiveness or an inability to control the senses, they become bewildered and then leave the association of the devotees. But I've often spoken to devotees who say, you know, I never ever forgot the devotees. There wasn't a day when I didn't think about Krishna or the devotees. And I was just waiting for the day when I could again get back into the association of the devotees. So this is the potency of devotional service is such that it is not at all, and that's why it's an offence, to think of the chanting of Hare Krishna, the performance of devotional service, as if it was just like some material pious activity. It is not. It is special, very special. And this is why we offer our obeisances, you know, to the devotees. Mancha kalpa turubhya cha pipa sindubhya eva cha. They're the ocean of mercy because they give us an opportunity to again engage in devotional service. Take up where we left off and then reconnect to our spiritual bank account, you know. And not at all like material activities. It looks the same. The devotees appear to be performing the same activities. Externally it appears to be the same. But internally, the practice and the result, the performance and the results that come about as the performance of devotional service are very, very different. And so therefore it's recommended that one strive, in the last sentence here, only for pure Krishna consciousness. Because the benefits that come as a result of the performance of devotional service give us entrance not into the temporary, not into another temporary, okay, the heavenly planets, it may be wonderful and beautiful, attractive, but, you know, is it Dhruva Maharaj? When he was taken by the residents of Vaikuntha in the what do we call it? The Vaikuntha Viman, is it?
Viman.
Yeah?
Pushpa Viman.
Pushpa Viman, right. He was seen by the demigods to be coming up. They thought, oh, okay, here he comes. He's coming up. But then they saw him and went further up, beyond them. Oh, where's he going? He wasn't, and he saw all of the different planetary systems, including the heavenly planetary systems, because he wasn't attracted to them. Because he was going to Vaikuntha, to the spiritual world, where Nag, what is it? What's that word? Na, 15th chapter. 15th chapter. 15, 16, is it? Natad bhasayate suryo nasa sankana paravakaha. What's the third one?
Yadgatva nivartante.
Yadgatva nivartante taddam paramamamam. Right? Taddam. This, the abode of Lord Vishnu is the superior abode. Why? Because you go there, you don't come back to the material world. Yadgatva nivartate, one doesn't come back again. One doesn't follow the path of having to come back to the material world. So therefore, you know, that's why it's recommended we should strive only for pure Krishna consciousness, because pure Krishna consciousness is the key, if you like, to opening up the door to getting into the spiritual world, where we don't have to come back again into the material world to suffer the, you know, the deflation of material enjoyment. You know, it's like woohoo, but then all of a sudden, any wave, crash, and you come again. That's material existence. You know, when Prabhupada was in Hawaii and he saw the people out, he saw the surfers, and Prabhupada said, what are they doing? What are they called? And the devotee said, they're surfers. The Prabhupada said, what are they called? He said, they're called surfers. The Prabhupada said, sufferers. They're suffering. Because, you know, all that effort, get up then, put it on. That's the nature of the material world. Work like anything, enjoy, and then crash. And then, oh, boy. Is it worth it? Whereas if we perform devotional service and we strive for pure devotional service, then the duties that we perform according to our ashram, according to our vana, whatever responsibilities we have, those duties performed with the aim for pleasing Krishna, that's all that's required. Free from personal consideration. Anya vilasita shunyam. Without material motivation, those activities performed for the pleasure of Krishna is the definition of pure devotional service. Those activities performed in that mentality are the means by which we can enter into that spiritual realm, the spiritual abode. And is the reason why the association of the devotees is so important. Because by the association of devotees, that actually opens up that opportunity to perform devotional service. To hear about Krishna, to talk about Krishna, to remember Krishna, to engage in devotional service, which is the beginning of the process of bhakti. So, Krishna is underlining the faultiness of fruitive activities performed on the basis of the karma kanda system, as Vakinanda Prabhu was explaining the other day. The ritualistic performances of karma kanda activities are actually part of the Sama Veda. We were also discussing that originally the Vedas were divided up by the Astas. They were given to different disciples, and it was almost like we can imagine in a university you have different faculties and they teach just different sections of knowledge, and so there was actually a unification of all of that information and all of that knowledge. But later on, the utilization of that knowledge was misappropriated. So, karma kanda sacrifices degenerated into cowkilling and the performance of ritualistic activities simply to promote oneself to the heavenly planets. But actually, the real purpose of all of these activities is to bring us to the point of devotional service. Certainly bring us to the point of pure devotional service, because the benefits and the results of devotional service are far, far superior to the benefits and results that come from the performance of these karma kanda activities, especially when they're performed with this material motivation. The results are limited and temporary, whereas the results that come about as a result from the performance of devotional service are unlimited and permanent. I think we should finish here. Does anybody have any comments or questions?
I was hearing a lecture this morning by Bhujan Prabhu.
Mm-hmm.
And he's telling on the in the lecture in Vrindavan, that the devotee is not afraid of death at all.
Mm.
Because he knows that he is associated with devotees and he is chanting the holy name. So he is definitely going to spiritual world.
Yeah, or he, if he's not successful, he'll get to take birth again in a family of devotees and he can take up where he left off.
Exactly right.
To perfect his devotional service. Yeah.
No loss.
Nehabi grama naso sti. No loss. Even if it's only a little bit. No loss of a little bit.